King David, who had changed from what seemed to be a self-absorbed king to a king who finally realized what God had done and was blessing him tremendously. The words of David transitioned from gloom and doom to praise and adoration. We saw that David desired to build a temple for the Lord and had donated a huge sum from his personal treasury and motivated the people of Israel to do the same. Now, we did not see the temple being built during David's life, but we see the means for the temple to be built set aside when God would say it was time, the time was right. Now, if we were to fast forward just about seven chapters to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the temple is now completely built. David's son, King Solomon, has dedicated the temple to the Lord, and all seems to be well in the kingdom, as it should be. And then God visits Solomon one night and tells him exactly what he expects in order for the people to stay in his will. Church, do you know that God has never tried to make it hard to have a relationship with him? Let me ask that question again. Do you realize, do you understand that God, Lord God Almighty, the righteous King of kings and Lord of lords, the knower of all, has never, y'all shake your head with me, never tried to make it hard to have a relationship with him. He's never tried to make it hard. If it feels hard for you, if it feels overly complicated, it's not because of God. It is all because of you. Now, if you don't get this part of the message, you're not going to get anything else I say this morning. God has never made it hard for you to have a relationship with him. Never. Since the beginning of history, since the garden, God has never made it hard for you to have a relationship with him. If you don't, if you think it's hard, it's because of you. Now, what does it take to experience this season that we've just gone through, this season of Thanksgiving, all of your life, all your entire life? A couple weeks ago I made the comment, Mr. White, that it seems like everybody gets on the bandwagon come November 1st. Well, I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for this. Now, you post it all over Facebook. I'm thankful for this. Well, why aren't you thankful the rest of the year? What does it take for us, especially us complicated Americans who are we want push-button gratification, what does it take for us to be completely thankful for the rest of our lives? Well, I believe I have that recipe this morning. So turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. We're going to start reading in verse 12. Now remember, the temple's built. Solomon has been allowed to build the temple with the funds that David had collected in the last sermon we just preached. Verse 12 says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, after the temple was built, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as the temple of sacrifice. If I close the sky so that there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them their sin, and heal their land.'" Now, we all know 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've got that almost memorized. We probably write that down and put it on our refrigerator. We don't listen to it, but we all know that scripture. But then we get to verses 15 through 22. Listen to what God says here to Solomon. "My eyes will now be open and my ears attentive to prayer from this place. And I have now chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there at all times. As for you, personally, if you walk before me as your father David walked, doing everything I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and ordinances, I will establish your royal throne as I promised your father David. You will never fall. You will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. However, if you turn away and abandon my statutes and my commands that I have set before you, and if you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from the soil that I have given them. And this temple that I have sanctified for my name, I will banish from my presence. I will make it an object of scorn and ridicule among all the peoples. As for this temple, which was exalted, every passerby will be appalled and will say, why did the Lord do this to the land and this temple? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord God of their ancestors, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They clung to other gods and worshipped and served them. Because of this, he brought all this ruin on them. Now, those of you who study the Word of God, you have the luxury and you know and you understand. God gave Solomon this solemn oath, this warning, and you know what happened. They did not keep God's ordinances, commands. They turned their back completely and totally on God. And God, being a God of His Word, He did what He said He was going to do. Now, church, is God still a God of His Word today? Does He still do exactly what He says He's going to do? Well, yeah. Then what is it that we as Christians, we as people, we as individuals, we as humans, inhabitants of this earth, have to complain about? What is it that we have to get upset about? Why are there so many people in this world today who get upset and get mad at God when God is just doing exactly what God said He was going to do? He's not tried to hide it, but they do. This morning, we're going to see what it takes to be extremely thankful for the rest of your life. I like Thanksgiving. I like the feeling and the atmosphere around Thanksgiving because it kind of enlightens people. Why can't we always be that way? We can. We absolutely can. And this morning we're going to look at the recipe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Asking you to forgive us where we fail you, Lord. Help us this morning to see and to know what it is that you'd have us to see and to know, that we might be greater servants for you when we walk out these doors. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Now, listen, I mentioned the word recipe. Now, if we this morning, if I was actually doing a recipe to make, let's just say, quiche, because I love to make quiche. Well, men don't, well, I like quiche. You call me whatever you want. I don't care. I like sausage quiche with grits on the side for morning, every now and then for breakfast. Amen? Okay, that deserves something. All right. But let's say, I woke up this morning, and I decided that I'm going to make a quiche. Now, I get the eggs out, and I've already browned the sausage, and it's got to be Jimmy Dean sausage, because that's just, And I brown the sausage, and I grate some cheese, and I throw it in a bowl, and I mix it all together, and I open the oven at 375, and I just pour it in the oven. We're going to have some problems. Oh, I've missed something. What have I missed? The crust, thank you. Yeah, I mean, you've got to pour that thing in the crust, and you've got some grated cheese on top of it, and push the cheese down into the mixture, and then you put it in the oven. And then you have to bake it. You can't bake it for 10 minutes. You've got to follow the instructions. If you don't follow the instructions, you're going to have a mess, right? Can I tell you, listen to me, this is a very easy sermon this morning. The reason why so many people's lives are in the mess that they're in is because you have not followed the instructions. For the life of me, I talk to people. I'm the cook in my house. Amy can cook better than me. I'm telling you, the woman can cook better than me, but I do most of the cooking in my house. I'm a man, right? Are men notorious for following directions? Okay, forgive me, men. We're not notorious for following directions. We're really not. But understand this. If I can cook, anybody can cook. All it takes is following directions. The reason why we're in the shape that we're in and the world's in the shape, because we are a people who do not like to follow directions. Look, this is 66 love letters and 66 plans for your life. I don't know what to do. I don't know why my life is the way it is. I can tell you, you're not reading the book. You're not following the instructions. It's not that hard. Listen, how this morning, I want you to write this down. How can you be thankful forever? He told us this morning, how can you be thankful forever? Now, if you'll pay close attention, I'm going to give you the complete recipe for a life filled with joy, happiness, and contentment. If you will listen to my words this morning, understanding that they are not my words, they're the words God has spoken through me and through His Word, you will live a life pleasing unto God. If you will hear these words today, you will live a life much happier, a much happier life. You will have less stress and worry, which will lead to less physical sickness. If you will listen you'll be thankful forever. Church, God always has and always will make His way very easy to understand. If only we will pay attention and follow His direction. It's easy. So, what is the recipe for thanksgiving forever? Number one, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer.'" I've heard your prayer. Step number one, ingredient number one for us to have a happy and just unbelievable life is this. We need to understand that God hears our prayers. We don't get that. Some of us, and I've heard people tell me, I don't even pray anymore. I've given up on prayer because God does not hear my prayers. Church, listen to me. God hears your prayers. He does. The little ones, the big ones, the ones that you think are just absolutely crazy, the ones that I think that are absolutely crazy. Listen, every prayer you pray, God hears. He hears them all. Well, what does that mean? You have access to the throne room of God. Here a few minutes ago, I said, "Lord Jesus, I come to you asking forgiveness of my sins." When I did that, I was in the immediate presence of God. Well, I didn't see God. Well, God saw you. God hears our prayers. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to communicate with you. Now, I honestly believe that God has us to have children or have children in our lives to experience the same feelings that He has with us. I really do. When we get frustrated with our children and we go to God in prayer, you know, there's been many times where I've said, "God, I'm just frustrated as all I can be. I don't know what else to do. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and it's not working." And God says, "I know exactly how you feel. I have that same problem with you." God, listen, I wish that you would help me. I love my child, but they don't seem to want to communicate with me. You know, I send them texts. They don't answer. I call them, and it goes to voicemail. It just doesn't seem like they want to communicate with me, and I'm tired of it. I've got to get through to them. God says, "I know exactly how you feel. This is the first time I've heard from you in a while. What's your name again?" Hey, listen, God hears our prayer. He wants to have conversation with us. Listen, if all you have is with a relationship with God is what you experience in this room this morning, I feel sorry for you. If you don't have a relationship with God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if this is all that you have, you're in trouble. You really are. So understand, if you want to have a happy life, you need to understand that God hears your prayers. Number two, we need to understand that God has chosen a new temple for Himself to dwell, seen in the New Testament. Now, as we see this, God is making an agreement with Solomon. Says, "Listen, I'm going to accept this, and I'm going to come in covenant with you, and I'm going to dwell in this temple." But, you know, as we understand that today and that Old Testament scripture, we need to understand that God has a new dwelling place today. And it's the heart of every believer through the Holy Spirit of God. God dwells within us. If you are going to be happy, you need to understand the Holy Spirit of God is with you always. Everywhere you go, guess what, sweetie? He goes with you. Everything you open your eyes to, God, the Holy Spirit of God sees it. Everything you experience, the Holy Spirit of God experiences with you. That's a good thing and it's a bad thing. But there's something else, church. We need to understand that God has chosen to be with us. And we need to see that there will be a time. There will be a time when the Holy Spirit of God is with us everywhere we go. Do y'all know my parents used to discipline me? Now, we don't have that nowadays. We really don't. We need to, don't we? I wish we still lived in the days where church members still spank kids, don't you? Well, he's a church member. It's a church member. Let's spank him. You didn't even think about it. You just spanked, just wore him out, and you told your mama, and then your mama wore you out. Doesn't happen anymore. But because I am a child of God, God disciplines me. Does that sound foreign to you? God? Yeah, God disciplines us. And he warns Solomon this morning and says, look, you know, discipline's coming if you don't pay attention to what I'm telling you. We need to see here that there's a time when we walk away from the presence of God and he will try to get our attention. And if Scripture tells us in 7:14, if we will humble ourselves, this is all we have to do, humble ourselves, seek the face of God, and turn from our sins, repenting to God by admitting that we have sinned, God will once again hear from us, forgive us of our sins, and heal our land. Craig, that's easy, right? Well, let me ask this question. Why, if this is so easy, is America in the shape that it's in? Because we won't repent. Listen, we as Americans, we won't even admit that sin is sin. Sin has become a relative term now. Well, that's not sin. God doesn't talk about it in the New Testament. Yeah, but he covers it pretty good in the Old Testament. God is the God of the Old Testament. He's the same God in the New Testament. We try to, you know, say, well, you know, that's not as bad. That sin's not as bad as this sin. This sin is sin. The reason we are in the shape that we're in and the reason we are going to continue to digress is because we will not humble ourselves. We will not repent. God's given us a way out. Would be to God that we would have a leader. Listen, everybody's, you know, praising our leaders or not praising our leaders. But just one time in my life, Tony, I would love to hear the President of the United States come on the air and say, I know what the problem is with all of America. And I wish that he would turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14 and boldly tell the nation what our problem is. But we won't see it. God's made it easy. We then hear God get very personal with Solomon. He talks about what the nation needs to do. And now he looks at Solomon. And he says, Solomon, telling him exactly what he must do personally to stay in favor with him. God tells Solomon to walk before him. Walk before him. Well, hold on, Brother Kyle. What does that mean? This is the best way I can explain it. As we've all had children, now I had three. There's always one that's crazy as a child, right? And this is what you tell that crazy child. They'd go to the playground, or you'd go to the McDonald's playground, or you'd go anywhere, go to the woods, you'd go walk out the back door. It didn't matter where you go. But you would look at that child and you'd say, stay within my eyesight. In other words, I when I open my eyes, I don't want to have to look, I want to see you. I don't want to have to wonder where you are, what you're doing, and what you're getting into. Because some crazy kids will take a screwdriver and stick it in the light socket. You see, not only did I have one of those children, I was and I is one of those children. Okay? And that's what God is saying. He says, listen, I want you to walk in my presence. I want to know where you are and what you're doing. Well, God knows everything. We're always in the presence of God. Yeah, unless we remove ourselves from the presence of God. He wants us to continually understand that we're always in His presence, and He wants us to have a desire to stay in His presence, not leave His presence. But too often, we do. God then tells Solomon to keep His commands and His ordinances. Holy, I've got to keep them all? Yeah. If God asks us to do it, listen, we're not talking about mom or dad. We're not talking about the government. We're talking about God. If God tells us to do it, we need to do it. Amen? If God tells us to do it, we need to understand that it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And listen, we ought to want to do it. And He's telling Solomon, listen, if you want to stay in my will, you're going to follow my commands and my ordinances. If you will do these three things, I will always make you prosper. Why then do so many people not prosper physically, and especially spiritually, you may ask? Could it be that they're not walking in the presence of God? Could it be that they know where to find the commands and ordinances of God, but they're not interested in following them? We are our own worst enemies when it comes to happiness and thankfulness, church. Stay in my sight. Walk with me. Follow my commands and my ordinances. Does that seem hard? Really, what God is saying here is, listen, just obey me. Obey me. The reason why we're miserable, we are a miserable bunch of people, is I don't want to obey God. God, you do understand that you're going to stand before Him one day, right? One day soon. It's absolutely blowing my mind that I'm almost 50 years old. I'm going to look like Terry one day. Listen, life is going by quick. It's going to happen before you know it. We're going to be standing in the presence of God. Church, I've spoken to countless people who were absolutely miserable. They're absolutely miserable with their lives. And when I ask them, why don't you give your life to Jesus? Or why don't you get your life right with the Lord? They tell me that could not be the reason that they're feeling the way they're feeling. Now listen, I can't attest to them or for them, but I can tell you with 100% accuracy that when I am walking with the Lord, I am carefree. And when I am not walking with the Lord, I'm absolutely miserable. The equation seems pretty simple to me. Listen to the equation another way. You've all heard the old saying, if mama ain't happy, nobody. Right? If mama ain't happy, and we all laugh, ha, 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 that's so funny. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's right, Jesse, that's right, isn't it? Okay, thank you. Let's put it a different way. If the Holy Spirit of God, who is living in you, is not happy with your life, your living, then you will never be happy. Listen to me. Ever. The Holy Spirit of God, when you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life, I believe with all my heart that you are the Son of God, and I believe, God, you raised Him from the dead, which is a scriptural equation for salvation. When you do that, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives with you, and He leads you and guides you all of your life. He helps you to make right choices. And when you make those wrong choices, listen, the Holy Spirit of God is going to make you miserable. Why? Because you're walking away from God. When you make a bad choice that's against the Word of God, the rule book of God, it's a bad choice. He's going to make you miserable. Of course you're going to be miserable. But when you walk back towards God and you live for God and you're living with God, your life's going to be happy. Man, this, I don't even know, why do I have to preach this? God then gives Solomon a word of wisdom, a word of warning, and a word of promise. What you're about to hear is the Lord God Almighty telling the king that if this happens, then this is what I will do. Once again, God does not try to hide or keep his plans secret. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. God's telling Solomon, however, if you turn away and abandon my statutes and my commands that I have set before you, and if you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from the soil that I gave them. And this temple that I have sanctified for my name, I will banish from my presence. I will make it an object of scorn and ridicule among the peoples. Did God know what these people were going to do? Did they know what they were going to do? Did they have opportunity to do what was right? Yes. God was giving them all the opportunity. And I'm sure God was like, I know this is going to be a good thing for a short period of time. Y'all were going to do the right thing. But you have to know what your downfall is going to be. As for the temple, which was exalted, every passerby will be appalled and say, why did the Lord do this to this land and this temple? You know, people are still walking by and looking at the wall, the northern wall, and asking that same question. Right now, there are people in Israel who have their hands to their wall and crying to the Lord because he destroyed the thing that they adored the most. Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord God of their ancestors who brought them out of the land of Egypt, They clung to other gods and worshipped and served them. Because of this, he brought all this ruin on them. Church, what we hear is God telling his people exactly what he is not going to put up with. Don't your parents do that? Haven't your parents, don't you remember that finger? Y'all remember that? Hey, Griffin, don't you remember your mama looking at you and said, I'm not going to put up with that? Yesterday, you remember that? God's doing the same thing. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to put up with it. If you can do this, I'm going to do this, is what God's saying. How much easier could God make it? Now, please note that we cannot say that God is unfair. God is so unfair. He's tried me. He's tested me. He's afflicted me. No, God is not unfair. Look at your circumstances, your current circumstances. Don't just automatically say, well, God did this to me. No, listen. How is it that you found yourself where you are? Were you faithful to God? Have you walked with God? Have you followed his commands and his ordinances? Right there is where you can stop, because I'm going to tell you, most Christians don't even know what his commands and his ordinances are. How can you follow them? How can you be faithful to God? How can you do what he asked you to do when you haven't even taken time to read it and study it? Brother Kyle, I'm just not that smart. There's not a person who can give that answer to me, because I'm not that smart. God has told us, and because he is righteous, when he says he is going to do something, church, he does what he says he's going to do. Listen, this morning, you have an opportunity from this point on in your life. You can live a life full of thanksgiving forever, for the rest of your life. Brother Kyle, are you saying bad things are never going to happen? I didn't say that. Listen, you're still going to die. You're still going to face adversity. But you can dance in the rain as you follow the ordinance and commands of God, as you walk with God. Lord, I know bad things are going to happen to me. I know, but I would rather do it with my face towards God and my back towards the world instead of my face towards the world and my back towards God. Church, this morning, I want each of you to do a spiritual checkup on yourself right now. God said for us to be happy and thankful. We are to walk before him in his presence. We are to keep his commands and his ordinances. It's your choice. I can't make you. I cannot make you. You can right now know if you're doing what God has told you to do by asking yourself this question: am I a thankful person, or am I miserable? Am I a thankful person, or am I a miserable person? Now listen, if you really want the real answer, ask your spouse. And be honest with each other. You know, baby, I love you, but you're miserable. Or baby, I love you, but you're thankful. But be honest with each other. Ask somebody who's going to tell you the truth. Your answer will tell you where your walk is with God right now, this very second, and what you need to do. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, Lord, I pray that you would be with us this right now. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us, Lord, as we do this self-evaluation. God, help us to see whether we are miserable or we're thankful. God, we should be the most thankful people in all the world. You grabbed us out of the pits of hell. And you've given us a promise of eternity. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name during this invitation. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? Do you need to come? This altar is open for you as the music plays. Do you need to come?